And you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, again, your word, your presence, and here we are. So help us understand, and our God, that we'd be the immediate beneficiaries. We would have all that you have in mind, inch by inch. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, as we're coming to the end of the sermon on the time in the upper room, chapter 13 through 17. As we're coming to the end, we keep in mind that God has a wonderful plan, chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And 17, he turns, as it were, in his perfect humanity to God to make it all happen. It was all God's will, God's plan, God's word, God's way, to make it all happen. So God put your stamp on it, and that's what God has done. So now, as we've been looking at in chapter 17, verse 21, there are seven purposes. Seven. In other words, God has a wonderful assignment for us, and there's a wonderful purpose. It has seven parts to it. Seven parts. That's THAT, that purpose, in order that. So, and we've looked at them. And as we go down, I'll read it just for this. It's easy to read. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. And you have to absorb the simplicity of the truth of this relationship. Oneness. That's what it is. Cardinal number one, not even one, no more than one, just one. So therefore, that they all may be one as thou art, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Second, that they may be one in us, one in us, the Father and the Son, that they may be one in themselves, as God the Father is one, and that in themselves they are to be one in Christ. So therefore, say it easier, the head is to have a oneness with the body. The body is to have a oneness with the head, a unique oneness. Your physical body, a unique oneness. And verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. God's wonderful glory, we've spent some time in it. And that I have given them. The purpose of God giving his glory in Christ to the believing heart is for what purpose? As we end in verse 21, that thou hast sent me. When I come to verse 22, I have given them thy glory that they may be one, even as we are one, a unique oneness. That's why you've got to have the glory of God to understand God's wonderful person. You can't have God's glory without God. Therefore, verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that, number five, that they may be made perfect in one. Wow, that they may be made perfect in one. And we were there last time. Now, having said that, think in mind, if you would, you're all alive. I can make that assumption. You're all alive. And therefore you live because you're alive. You're breathing. You can move your hands, your eyes. That's because you're alive. Anyone that isn't alive, let me know. You're alive. When you're saved, God saves you. in a most wonderful way. God save you. When does he save you? When you receive him as your Savior. How much does he save you? Or to say it another way, how much more does God need to do? What else does God need to do to save you? If you're saved, what else does God have to do to save you? It's all done. It just has to be worked out. Now, verse 23. Verse 1. I in them and thou in me, that, purpose number 5, that, purpose, in order that they may be made perfect in one. Perfect in one. Perfect is the verb to complete, to finish, to bring something to an end, to finish it, to be wanting nothing, complete, finished, wanting nothing. That's the verb. It's in the perfect tense. It means, when you get, going back to the other, when you get saved, you're saved. You can't get more saved. How's that? You can't get more saved. What's the problem? You got to work out being saved. It's one thing to be saved. It's another thing. It's one thing to be alive. It's another thing to outlive it. It's one thing to be saved. You have to outlive it. When you get saved, God perfects, perfect. You are made, God in his wonderful glory has given you his glory, that you may be made complete, finished, perfect in one. One perfect. How much perfect do you need to be? Complete. To say another way, what else does God need to do to perfect you, to make you finished, to make you complete? What else does God need to do? It's finished, perfect. The result is you're saved, doing it a different way. You're saved, be saved. You're perfect, complete, lacking nothing, then exercise it. You can't be more perfect. You can't be. But you've got to exercise the relationship that God has made possible. So, in order to exercise it, and in the light of verse 21 and 23 and that, as thou hast sent me. In other words, we're trying to evidence a unique relationship to God, oneness, we have his glory, and we're perfect, complete. Now, and I'm sure none of you feel perfect. None of you are perfect. None of us are perfect. So therefore, let's go and exercise. How does that work out? Perfect. You have my glory. You're perfect. Saved. Perfect. Therefore, I want you to go being perfect. I'm going to send you into the world like I sent my son, who's glorious and perfect. I sent him into the world. I'm sending you as my Father, verse 18, as my Father sent me, so send I you into the world. Now, exercise that. Over, if I can, Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew and chapter 5, and may I go, a little context, this is in the Sermon on the Mount, etc. Chapter 5, verse 45, that ye may be children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth the rain on the just and on the just. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Verse 47. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others that Do not even the publicans honor each other? Now, point, verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is in heaven, is perfect, even as your Father is perfect. That's the same word, exactly the same word. So God, when we get saved, we enter into a perfection, a wonderful fullness, completeness with your wonderful person. And that perfection, that wonderful relationship we're to have with you. And so, therefore, and I want to understand it. God, you, here's the people, 15,000 more, who knows how many, sitting there. And he tells them this. Because they aren't saved, they just want to know, if you become, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, I'm the king, and do you want my kingdom? And he tells them what it's going to be like. And when it's, what's a, if you have a relationship to the king, you're going to be, verse 48, as in verse 45, be that you may be the children of your Father, sliding down, verse 48. And ye therefore be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So we're going to go and be perfect as your Father is. So God, you're the one that gives us spiritual birth in the light of our physical birth, so our spiritual birth. So God, what are we to be? Perfect. How? As your Father. Complete, full, lacking nothing, nothing missing, nothing missing at all. Nothing needed at all. Complete. Well, I want you to be perfect like your Father. Like God, that's right. But we can't be. And people say that, that they disregard that. And in the process, they can't disregard it. Because God never asks anything that he doesn't mean to be fulfilled. If God asks it, God makes it possible. If he said, be perfect, then he's there to make perfection happen. Do you understand? Be saved. God's here to what? For us to be what? Saved. You see? Be at peace. God's here to be at peace. It's God. That's so now, perfection. As my Father is perfect, I need to be perfect. You need to be perfect. So therefore, that why? Because God never asks anything that he isn't there to fulfill. How are we going to be perfect in oneness? Where are we going to get this finished completeness from our oneness with God? God provides that wonderful oneness so that we have it in a most awesome way. There's another place you have to turn there. In 1 Peter 1, 15, 16. Leviticus 11, 44, not, you don't care. That's a, Leviticus 11, 1 Peter 1. Be ye holy for I am holy. Straight statement. Be perfect, I am perfect. You be holy, I am holy, he said. That's where you want to be. Oh, no, I can't be holy. You better be, because that's I am. How can you have a oneness with me without being holy? How can you be right with me without being right? How can you be saved with me without being saved? How are you going to do that? You can't. You can't. I give you my glory. I am there to give you that unique, unique, unique oneness. So as in Adam, all die, in Christ shall all be made alive in a most, most wonderful way. And as you think of that in John, etc. In John, what do we know our Lord did for us? Well, you might as well turn there just to stay awake. John chapter 19. John 19. Let's just think about it, if you like to. Follow through and lock it in. In other words, connect the dots so that you have the dots in a picture. Otherwise, you get a bunch of dots on the piece of paper. You need to connect the dots so you see what you're looking at. John chapter 19. Pick it. chapter 19, if I can, in verse 30. This is, remember our Lord Jesus on the cross. We're coming there to chapter 19. We're in chapter 17, about to finish it. And we may get there before the Lord comes, maybe not. But John chapter 19, picking up a little word in verse 20-30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." That's the word perfect, finished, complete, wanting nothing. Christ in those last 3 hours bore the sin of all of us and all the world in his own body on the tree. He was punished. He paid the penalty. He paid whatever was needed, which was death itself. He had to die. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Verse 30 again. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he finished what? What he said before anything was ever created. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, that's the plan. Christ is going to go to the cross when there's nothing out there as we know it, angels or otherwise, creation. And he's going to go to the cross in a most wonderful way, and he's going to die to pay for the sin of the world. That's why all of us can be born on planet Earth, because Christ died. That you can't be born on planet Earth without knowing that Christ died for you. You need to know that, we that are all us humans, no matter where you're born. And no matter where you're born, Romans 8, as we did 100 times, God makes himself known to every human being that's born, no matter where they're born, in a hut, in an igloo, or on top of a mountain. Won't make any difference. How you can't be born physically, that God isn't going to make himself known in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And Christ, why? Because Christ has died for you. Therefore, it's finished. What's finished? What he had planned before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God slain. Christ died. How much more does he have to die? No more. All over. Price is paid. The first Adam gets us into trouble. The last Adam gets us out and dies on the cross to save all, everyone in Adam. That's where we're all from. Now, having said that, to bring that all into wonderful, wonderful, wonderful end, God's going to do that. And so over in Hebrews and in chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10. And you will note in Hebrews chapter 10, picking up please in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, 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 with those sacrifices. Remember, we read in the scripture reading, 22,000 sheep, or whatever it was. I mean, how many thousands and thousands and thousands? It wouldn't make any difference if you killed them all. They aren't sufficient to pay the price. They can't bring us into God's saving grace. Chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereof perfect, thereunto perfect. So all of those things that we did never, 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 never can perfect us. We did that. Remember in Hebrews 7, the law, you're right there. Turn the page. Chapter 7, verse 19. For the law made what? There's a little word. The law made nothing perfect. The law can't save you. It can only condemn you. But the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Back over to chapter 10. God, the priesthood can't save us, the law can't save us, the system can't save us, our own systems can't save us. All of that God did was to point to the one system. The systems, sacrifice, the law, pointed to what? to the Lamb of God that had to die on the cross. He died on the cross, and it's finished. Finished. Chapter 10, verse 14. And you will note, for by one offering he hath perfected, completed, finished forever them that are sanctified and set apart. God did something wonderful when he died on the cross. He died for the sins of the world. So when he saves somebody, he saves them perfectly, perfectly, completely, fully. He said, it is finished. I'm not going to do any more. You can't have any more. All you need to do is exercise what you know, understand what you know. Therefore, having said that, perfect, perfect in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. Chapter 6 of Hebrews. The admonition to the believing believers, because they should know these things. And in chapter 6, you'll recall from our study in Hebrews, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, because let us complete, let us finish what we're saved for. Finish growing up. You're alive, finish living. Finish living. Finish being saved. Be saved? No. Saved isn't a ticket to heaven. Being saved means you go from death to life in order that what? You can enjoy a life. That is the whole point here and now, to have a relationship to God. You can't have more of it. You can only exercise it. That's all you can do. Exercise your heart and live. Exercise your relationship to God and live. Exercise, because you're alive. Perfected, finished, need to say it. It isn't something that's going to happen. If I got saved, it happened. Now, what have I done with it? To exercise it, to enjoy it. As my Father sent me, so send I you for people to look at. Hang on. Therefore, perfect, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith, could God, etc. We did all that. Now, having said that, Colossians chapter 1. What would I know if I can't look at God's word? Colossians chapter 1. And you will note, if I can, in verse 8, Colossians 1 and in verse 27, little background. I'll even read verse 26. Finally, 2:6. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made known, manifest, clear, public, plain to his saints, to the believers. What was that that was never understood by Moses or any of them? Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, the glory of it. God has given us his glory. The glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that God's giving us his glory. For the understanding, we're going to be always in his glory, for his glory. That's what we're going to be. Christ is in you for his glory. That's what they're for. It's a wonderful thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, having said that, verse 28. Whom we preach, that's why we're reading Colossians. Whom we preached. Preached. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that purpose we may present, what's the purpose? Every man perfect, perfect in Christ, perfect, perfect, because you're perfect. How can you be presented imperfect? That's to what? To finish out the experience that you're perfect. You're supposed to be enjoying being perfect, and you need to enjoy being perfect. So you need to be admonished, warning, teaching, perfect in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to do. That's what we're here for. Verse 29, whereunto I labor, also labor, striving according to the working, which worketh in me mightily. So Paul was going, and what drove Paul? What made Paul go? The perfection. God did something wonderful in saving Paul. God made Paul a wonderful, wonderful vessel fit for the master's use. And Paul was so, got hold of it. It's all done. It's all wonderfully saved, wonderfully forever, and able to enjoy God here and now forever. Wow, right now. Wow, that's awesome. And Paul says, that's what I'm after you for. God presents you to be like that. That's what it's about. That's preaching. That's what he did. He wore himself out doing it. Wow, you don't have that much anymore. People don't do that. They don't care that much. They don't even think about that. Whoever thinks about the congregation being perfect and to make them perfect, they're all trying to make the preacher imperfect. Whatever they do. That's what you do. Perfect. Say, no one does that. We just be saved and go to heaven. No, be perfect. Enjoy being fully, fully, without wanting nothing, be saved. Now, having said that, in the light of that, over if I can, in God's wonderful one, chapter 4 of Ephesians, right next door. Watch it. That's what we're doing in church. That's what we're supposed to be doing. It isn't a social club. It isn't a school. It's meant to, what? For believers to be perfected. Not for unbelievers and not for people that don't want anything. No, it's only for believers to be perfected, to be finished. Ephesians chapter 4, you know it, verse 12. There it is. For the perfecting of the saints. What is the perfecting of the saints? I'll slide over verse 11. For he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That's the same job, pastor, teacher. Anyway, but verse 12, what did he do that for? For the perfecting, completing, finishing of the saints. Finishing. They're perfect. They finish them. Let's finish it off. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So we understand the exercise, the service one to another, and we're building up the body, encouraging all the parts of your body, the liver, the spleen, the lungs, and all of it. All of it's busy right now, taking care of you physically. And spiritually, that's what we're doing. That's why we're sitting together on the Lord's Day today. What's the whole point? Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a, what kind of man? A perfect man. Perfect. That's what we're sitting here for. Why do I have to go to church, you know? Why do I have to go to church? Well, I don't like church. I don't like, that's the question of that. People tell me that, no, the reason you go to church is because you're a believer and you're part of the body. That's why you go. That's why you should go. That's what your understanding should be. And what? I'm supposed to be growing and knowing. That's what I'm supposed to be. Not into being entertained or finding a social group. No, it isn't that. It's to be knowing and showing God's wonderful grace. Therefore, so that what? People will know, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And you're going to be sent out in the world. Hang on. Chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, how much? Of the stature, growing up, of the fullness of Christ. We're going to keep going and going till we become like him. We have to be saved and translated into God's wonderful, wonderful heaven in God's wonderful, wonderful way to be able to enjoy him and know him for the outworking of this wonderful, wonderful relationship of verse 22, 17:22, John. I want you to be perfect in the same oneness that we have a unique oneness, perfect in oneness, perfect in this union, to know, so the world will know and see in a most wonderful way. So in James chapter 1 again. Thank you. James chapter 1, picking up please in thought. Verse 2. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying, the proving, the testing of your faith, the body of truth you're trusting in, worketh patience bearing up under the load. Let patience bearing up under the load have her perfect work. What's it going to do? It's going to perfect us, finished, complete, going to help us. Help us what? That we may be perfect, and entire, wanting nothing. You won't know what it is to be saved. Being saved means you have eternal life. What's eternal life got to do with anything here? You eat, your food, grocery store, gas, come, go, whatever you want to do, move your hands, whatever you got. That's physical life and temporal life. Eternal life is your relationship to God. And that has nothing to do with here. It has to do with God. And you enjoy that life. You enjoy the relationship that God has given you in spite of anything and everything around you. You understand? Eternal life, John 17, 3, is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. To know God. It's a wonderful thing. Simple thing. God did it. When did God do it? He gave you a unique oneness relationship to himself. And therefore, you have to go through and what? You're alive physically. You have to exercise it to grow and know. You grow and know and keep knowing. When you keep knowing, you keep showing. You're growing, obviously. When you're this tall, you're showing you're this tall. When you're this tall, you're this tall. And you keep, you're what? You're showing, you're growing. You're showing it. You're changing. You're showing. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, perfect law, complete. So we're looking at God's word. How much more do we need of God's word? You got from Genesis to Revelation, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He got the beginning. And Revelation 22:21, what? God finishes it. Said, don't add or subtract. So how much more do I need of the Bible? How much more do I need to hear from God? I don't. God's given me everything that I need to know. That for Moses, that wouldn't be true. For David, it wouldn't be true. For Peter, it wasn't quite true. But for us, it is, on this side of the cross. We're finished. And it's perfect. We represent him in a full, finished kind of way, understanding what, when he died on the cross, he finished it. And our relationship to God, we come to know him as our Lord and Savior so that we can represent him properly. We're representing what? The God who saves us. He saves us. He's saving us. God gave us a unique oneness to the person of God, Father, in the person of Christ, the Son. We have a unique relationship to God in Christ as children, as sons, as joint heirs. We have a relationship to God. That's how we are. That's what we are. You have to be saved. All that I just mumbled out should be true. You don't make it true. It just is. It just is. When my mother gave me birth, I became a son. Without question, son, male, understand how they need to clarify things for people. Okay, I became that. All I could do is outlive it as a son. That's all I'm doing. I became a son, I am a son. I got saved, I am saved. I'm perfect, I have a relationship to God that is a unique oneness. And it needs to be expressed and understood. That's why we're reading these verses, because God's telling us, are you exercising it? Hebrews 6, 1 and that. Be maturing, be growing, be understanding, be exercising it. James 1, 3, 2, 3, 4. James 1, 25. Who know looketh into the perfect law of liberty, God's word, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So I can't keep looking at the Bible. The Bible isn't going to change. God isn't going to change. I'm looking to his word, and that's why I'm reading it. I want to understand. God made me perfect. God made you perfect if you're saved. That's what it is. You say you can't say? Yes, I can. If you say that's somebody at work, he'll think you're cuckoo, you know. But you don't say it to God. You know it to God. And let the rest of it go. But, hang on. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, in God's wonderful grace, the perfect law of liberty, keeping in mind Romans 10 and all that, that the Lord Jesus said, I am the end of the law. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the end of the law for righteousness to them that believe. The word end, E-N-D, is the root word for the word perfect. Perfect. End is the root. And out of it comes perfect, complete, wanting nothing, etc. Full. Out of the word end. He's the end of the law. He's finished his work on the cross in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And thus he's the end of the law. He finishes it in an awesome, awesome way. Now, so therefore, keep that in mind. Back over to John 17. Perfect. God presents us perfect. We're supposed to be exercising that relationship. That's what we're supposed to be doing, to enjoy and exercise the relationship that God has made possible for us in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. So, having said that, in chapter 17 and in verse 23 again, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that purpose, that purpose, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hath loved them as thou hast loved me, that the world may know that thou hast loved them. So it's supposed to have a unique relationship to God, to know that God loves us, God cares in a most, most wonderful way, as the Father sent me. So I'm supposed to illustrate that, and I need to illustrate that in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, go with me over, please, to Romans and chapter 4. Let me just do it a different way. What am I to be understanding? Why am I perfect? In Christ Jesus, I am perfect. Not I didn't do it, God did it. Where is the perfection? The perfection is in his Son. It isn't in you, it isn't in me. He's perfect. And I receive the perfect one that saves me perfectly. I receive the perfect one who saves me perfectly so that I can have 2 Peter 1 and 3 and 4, a unique relationship to his nature, to God's wonderful oneness, to heaven. He's my Father, Son, Father, a unique relationship to God. That is what God has made possible in and by the personal work of Jesus Christ. Apart from Christ, nothing. In Christ, everything. Finished, complete, wanting nothing, perfect. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over to Romans, I said. Romans in chapter 4. And follow along. We're to be exercising this wonderful truth. And we exercise it in a wonderful way. Because Christ is, that's what you just, I can't be saved unless I'm really saved. If I receive Christ, all of these things are true, real, done. I don't make them happen. They happen. I need to exercise them. Chapter 4, you recall, God tells how to get saved in a wonderful way. In chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 3. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned by grace, reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if you're going to earn it, then it's a debt. They owe you. But you don't earn being saved. It's a gift. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. His faith, justified, declared righteous. The righteousness we need, justified. The ungodly, we didn't have any. God justifies us. He pays the price. So the ungodly justifies the ungodly, that's us. His faith is counted for righteousness. So where did I get the righteousness, God? I got it from you. The minute Christ died on the cross and I received him as my Savior, God made it possible for me to enjoy the rightness that I never had. The rightness that belongs to God in Christ. Christ has become my righteousness. Christ has become my righteousness. Now, having said that, in chapter 6, how did that happen? He became. And remember, Christ died on the cross. All of these things are basic. They're mostly left out normally because it's a say we don't get involved. Get involved. You need to lock in why. When Christ died, we have communion, all kinds of things. We don't understand because it passes our brain, not you guys, but passes the brain. And when I think of the cross, Christ died, I'm on the cross. That Christ isn't there for no one, isn't there for fun of it. Christ died for me. I can't think of the cross, communion, or Christ, that I died. That's why I have life. I have his resurrected life. So I'm locking almost locking it in. Chapter 6, we're justified by faith, made righteous. Chapter 6, in verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, Father, we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Christ died. I went to the cross. He took me to the grave, and he rose again. And then he offered me, since I'm there, I see myself there. God said, do you see your name? I said, I see it. Then believe me, I died for you. I did for you. God so loved me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I believe in God saves us in the most one, chapter 7. God saves us. Christ died for us. And what do we know? We got an old nature. And our old nature is a pain in the neck, but it's there. And we have to live with it till we go home to be with the Lord. But God saves us anyway, because God doesn't save us in and by our old nature. God saves us in and by the person of Christ. So God isn't saving you by you. He's saving you by himself. He's counting on himself. What he did on Calvary's cross, it's perfected, finished. Therefore, I have to understand, and you have to get there where you understand your old nature is, because we trust it, it's normal, it's our habit, we're full of habits, and we do what we do because of our habits. We do creatures. We're very earthly. And very, very fleshly. That's what we do. So we do that all the time. So we have to work at this. You have to work at it. Verse 18, 7 and 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. To will is present. I would like to be perfect, but I can't be perfect because I got this old nature. For to will is present. I understand I'm perfect, but I'm not perfect. I got it? I'm perfect, but I'm not perfect. But how I perform that which is good, I find not. For the good, verse 19, that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not do, that I'm doing. So I got an old nature. So I got the perfect part. I'm perfect. God made me perfect in Christ Jesus. God saves us in a most wonderful way. So being made perfect in Christ Jesus, I need to understand that I got an old nature that isn't perfect. So how am I gonna practice this working out so I lack nothing, learning to be exercise my completeness by being saved? How am I gonna do that? Before the world, as my Father sent me, so send I you. I'm doing all this oneness, what? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Not sent us, sent him. Why? Because we're representing him in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, I wanted you to get the old nature part. The old nature, verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, my heart, I got this old nature in my brain, in my everything, in my habits, my normal life, family life, earthly life, school life, whatever. I got it in my general life. But I have to understand, God has made me possible to have something different. So I'm supposed to be sent into the world. Sent into the world so that people can know that Christ died on the cross for me. But I'm going to go. I go to school. I go to work. I go to whatever. And I go. I'm among people that are just like me. They got an old nature. The difference is I'm saved, and I need to demonstrate I'm saved. My old nature's there. I'm just like them. No question. But Christ has died and made me perfect. I can't tell them that. They don't understand. What can I do? I can go and show them. I'm saved. Now, how am I saved? Now, there's a different sweater, whatever it is. Yeah, okay. Here I am in my old nature, okay? Can you still hear? I'm in my old nature. That's my old nature. Hi. But I'm trusting Christ as my Savior, thanking God, walking in the flesh to God, you know, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to look to God, and I'm looking to God. And so when I come to work, see, underneath is what? That's me. But I want you to know, Christ saved me. I'm going to advertise it. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm going to advertise. Oh, and here comes someone that gets offended. Oh, see, they're offended. But then here comes a couple that I may help. Oh, I'll put it back on again. See? No. I'm saved. I want to show I'm saved. This part here, I'm like them. But I want you to know, Christ died for me and made me perfect in Christ Jesus. He saves me in a most awesome, wonderful way. And I want you to know, for me, in my heart, the devil and angels know, good guys and bad guys, you know I'm saved. And I want you to know, if anyone wants to know why I'm in this body, because I pull it out, Christ is my Savior. He gets the credit and the glory. He's the one that saves me. I want you to know that. I'm not out there with a system. I'm not religious. I don't want to be part of your stupid world. God saves me from it. And therefore, as my Father sent me, he said, so send I you. A saved believer, saved and by Christ in my heart, and I'm able to go and show. And if anyone asks me why I'm whatever, the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. He saves me. He gets all the credit. He gets all the credit for saving this. Do you understand? He gets all the credit. And I'm going to wear it. I'm not ashamed of it. See? I'm not going to walk around and wave it either. I'm going to look to God. I'm saved. And that's what God, as my Father, I'm sending you into the world in perfect glory and oneness to show this. Show what? That you're a new creature in Christ. That God saved you and made you one saved rascal. One saved person. Remarkable. Saved. Wow. No? Okay. Okay. All right. Oh, if I can, in closing, to where? 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, picking up if I can, in verse 31, you know it. Wherefore, whether therefore you eat, going to eat today, or you drink, get something to drink, or whatsoever you do, that means whatever you do, you're alive, exercise life. Whatever you do, do all, A-L-L, to the glory of God. You're saved. And you're going to walk around saved. Saved. That's what you're going to do. I'm saved. I'm a saved man. God, I didn't do it. God did it. And that's what I'm going to do. And God's presented me perfect. And I just need to understand, I need to exercise that relationship so that I can enjoy being perfect. I gotta quit. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. Thank you. Thank you, thank you very much. God, help us understand. Help us not to be stubborn or stupid. God, we don't want to be. We lose out. We definitely lose out. So you got to help us. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.